And in the name of that Lord Jesus, our coming Advent King, dear friends in Christ, what is it that your heart is longing for more than anything right now? When I was in grade school, this time of the year, what I longed for more than anything was Christmas Eve. Yet it seemed that the closer Christmas drew near, the slower time went. I remember being home from school on Christmas Eve day, and it was like always the longest day of my life. I was never happier than when Mom would finally say, "It's time for church," because I knew that as soon as we got home after church, we would finally open those presents. Now, many of us here probably wish that our longings could still be that simple, but they're not. Some of you here are longing for healing of some sickness or disease. Some are longing for a reprieve from the pain. Some are longing for a little more peace at home or at work. Some are longing for a wayward child to return. Some are longing for freedom from a chain of sin that has wrapped us up so tightly we feel like we're suffocating. Longing has been par and parcel of the human experience ever since our first parents were expelled from the perfection of the Garden of Eden. In a broken world, there is always something that is missing. There is always something that is not quite right. And so we're longing, we're waiting, we're anticipating that day when that will change. The day when it will seem like life is really as it ought to be. Now, Advent has traditionally been a time when people have brought these longings out into the open. It just seems that it feels right. It feels safe because the fulfillment of those longings seems closer than it ever has before. Jesus is coming. We can count the days. So our carol this evening, in both word and melody, is a powerful song of longing. And it finds its roots deep in the history of the New Testament church. In medieval times, there was actually a monastic expression. It was to keep the O. And that was a reference to the O antiphons that had become a long-standing tradition for Advent. Now, what's an antiphon? An antiphon is a short song or a chant based on a scriptural text. And for centuries, these antiphons, one a day, had become the mainstay of Advent worship in the church from December 17th to December 23rd. Now, the first letter of the second word of each of these antiphons actually spelled out an acrostic, a hidden message that wasn't fully revealed until the last one was sung on the 23rd of December. Now, as we review these antiphons this evening and sing the ancient text of the hymn based on these antiphons, they become for us really a window into the longings and the lives of God's people throughout the centuries. Lives and longings that aren't all that different from ours today. So I invite you to join with me in singing the first of these antiphons.
The path of
Sapientia, a wisdom from on high. You know, as we look at our lives, so often they seem chaotic. What happens at times so random and even purposeless. A truck driver loses control of his rig, and a family, the entire family, on their way to church, is killed. A young mother of three suddenly dies of a heart attack, while an elderly woman who is suffering from an excruciatingly painful cancer lingers on day after day. And we wonder why. It doesn't make sense. We long to know. We long to understand. Jesus comes, and he reveals to us a higher kind of wisdom. In John, Jesus is called the Word. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. The world that he has created gives witness to the incredible beauty and the complexity of his design. From the distance that the earth is from the sun, the perfect place for life on this planet, to the intricate systems of the human body, from photosynthesis to the wonders of this world's ecosystems, God is a God of incredible order and design. And that's not just of the world around us, but also of our own lives. The Bible, God, Jesus, and his wisdom tells us that God has plans for us to prosper us and not to harm us. That God is placing opportunities in our lives, each of them to glorify him. That God works everything out somehow for the good of those who love him. These are things that we cannot necessarily see, but Jesus opens our eyes to a higher wisdom. Isaiah 11, 2-3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, deliver us from our blindness to your higher plans and purposes. Give us the wisdom to trust in you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Amen. Adonai, the Lord and leader of the house of Israel. You know, there's so much in my life that frustrates me, that troubles me, disappoints me. I'm not talking now about the things going on outside of me, the things that are happening to me. But I'm talking instead about the things going on inside of me and the things that come out of me. The good I want to do, I do not do. And the evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? God's law revealed on Mount Sinai, like the holy mountain itself, is a consuming fire. It threatens to devour and destroy me. And well, it should. How I long to be free from the burden of its guilt, from the debt that I owe, from the fears that haunt me because of my sin. And then Jesus comes, and he speaks love and grace. He comes to me in his word and sacraments, and he reminds me that he is the one who carried sin's curse for me, that he suffered the flames of hell in my place, that I am always and fully forgiven. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, make the fire of your law our friend, a refining fire, slowly, steadily burning away our impurities. Deliver us from our maddening sins. Forgive, renew, restore. Amen. Branch of Jesse, stem unto your own and rescue them from depths of hell. Your people save and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. I'll come to you, O Israel. O Radix Jesse, O root of Jesse. Though at times I prove to be my greatest enemy, I am not my only enemy. There is that ancient foe whom the scriptures say leads this whole world astray. His power over us is frightening, frustrating. He feeds on our weaknesses, on our lusts, and on our pride. And every time we fall, he points his bony finger at us, and he says, "See, you're nothing. You're hopeless. You're defeated. You are mine, and you will always be mine." Words that, unfortunately, are just way too easy sometimes to believe. It is a poison that is oppressive. Jesus, come, please, rescue us. This ancient foe enticed God's Old Testament people to follow the gods of the nations around them. And when God sent his holy prophets to call them back, that same ancient foe beguiled them into repeatedly and stubbornly refusing to listen, to the point where there was nothing else God could do but to finally send his own beloved people into exile. And the glory of his Old Testament people came to an end. That glorious nation was nothing more than a stump. Yet out of that stump, God caused a shoot to spring up. Isaiah 11:1. But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from its roots a bud shall blossom. There it is, hope, growing out of an old dead stump. Who could believe it? And yet, isn't that the story of our lives, how our sin cuts us off from God? We are nothing but a dead stump until Jesus comes with his message of victory. Sin, Satan, death, hell, all destroyed. That victory is yours. That victory is mine. We are not hopeless. We are not defeated. We are the Lord's. Come, Lord Jesus, and deliver us from satanic defeat to the victory that you have won for us. Amen. Oh, come, O King of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe for us the heavenward road and bar the way to death's abode. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O Clavis David, O Key of David. If only for this life we have hope, we are to be pitied more than all men. Those are the words of Paul to the Corinthians. There is a longing in every one of us for a brighter future. Maybe some of us here still remember Jerry Taft closing the 10 o'clock news with the phrase, "Better tomorrows." Yet we live in a world that is fearful of tomorrow. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? It seems like more often than not, tomorrow brings bad news. And one thing is for sure, every tomorrow brings us one day closer to that greatest and final enemy, and that is death. This world doesn't know necessarily what to do with death, doesn't know what's going to happen after death, and so as much as possible tries to push death off. And we're human too, and so that fear of death can also sometimes grab a hold of our hearts. But what happens when we realize that in a broken world, sooner or later, life can feel an awful lot like death? But in Jesus, death is no longer the enemy. In Jesus, death becomes the doorway to better tomorrows. In Jesus, we find the key that unlocks the door to heaven. Isaiah 22:22. I will place on his shoulders the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So come, Lord Jesus, and deliver us from this veil of tears and trouble to yourself in heaven. Amen. Bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. Rejoice, rejoice. Day spring. Another thing we long for is to be able to walk in the light. The darkness frightens us. We don't know where we're going. We can't see what's lurking in the shadows. John says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Jesus sheds light on the dark paths of our lives. When we don't know which path to take, when we don't know where to go, when we don't know exactly how to respond, what to say, what to pray for, when the darkness keeps us from seeing and even thinking clearly, Jesus comes to us through his word, and he provides light for this journey. What a relief. Isaiah 9:1, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has dawned. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus, and deliver us from the darkness and uncertainty of this sinful world that so often overtakes us. Show us the answer. Show us the way. Amen. Oh, come, O King of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease, and be yourself our King of Rex Gentium, O longed for King. How we long sometimes for peace. You know, the news brings into our homes every day these pictures of violence and bloodshed, oppression and tyranny. Year after year, the world sings the songs of Christmas, peace on earth, and year after year, just as Jesus promised, there are still wars and rumors of war. And this violence, it's not just way out there somewhere. This violence is in our own city streets, in our own homes, in our own hearts. We long for a ruler, a king, who can bring real peace, true peace to this world and to our lives. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is that King. No armies, no weapons, no threats, no coercion. He lays down his own life as a sacrifice for all. He rules with his message of love and grace. He brings peace, real peace, peace with God and peace with each other. So come, Lord Jesus, deliver us from the violence of our hearts to the peace that only you can bring. Amen. Final and the summation, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Though we find ourselves filled with all these longings, on our own we cannot seem to find the fulfillment of what we truly desire. That's because what we think can fulfill all these worldly things, we think that they can fulfill these desires, but in actuality, only Jesus can do that. He alone can fill this God-sized hole in our hearts. Not no one, but Jesus can ultimately and really satisfy us. And yet, sadly, we still think, well, just one more drink, or just a little more money, or just one more, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, and I will truly be satisfied. I will finally be happy. But that won't happen, because Christ is really our desire. Emmanuel, God himself with us, on our side, by our side, living inside. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, you who are God among us. Now we see, now we understand that you are the one we truly long for. Only you can satisfy. Now you'll notice that none of these petitions has been left unanswered. The refrain, rejoice, rejoice, sung over and over again, is the confident confession that Jesus will answer each and every longing. The ones we've spoken here this evening and the ones that are still in our hearts. He will come and he will deliver us. And now finally, we can read the hidden message in the acrostic. Remember, the first letter of the second word of each of these O antiphons, when read backwards in Latin, reads ero cross, which means, I will be present, I will be here tomorrow. Traditionally, this last antiphon, the last letter was revealed on December 23rd. I will be here tomorrow. Sure enough, Jesus kept his promise, born as a baby in Bethlehem. And just as the angels reminded the shepherds, we do not need to be afraid, because whatever happens, whatever our longings, whatever fears or struggles, whatever it is that we face, Jesus will be here today, tomorrow, forever. The fulfillment of the hopes and longings of all the years. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.